All right, let's take our Bibles and go to John chapter 8 tonight. John chapter 8. Hard to believe, we just have a couple more times together, but I won't say any sad words right now. Things are none of that. We'll save all that for tomorrow. Because we're not done yet. We still got more to go. Right? John chapter 8. Boy, what a storm today, huh? Man, pretty crazy. During dinner time there underneath the tent. And boy, that came down some hail. Did you guys see the hail bouncing around? Yeah. Boy, it's a blessing just to even have a tent to be under when you got a hailstorm going on. Especially a rainstorm, too. But a hailstorm especially. And I've been in some pretty big hailstorms. It's pretty amazing. Have you ever been in a big storm where, like, the power got knocked out? Yeah, okay, we probably most of us have, right? And boy, those storms when the power gets knocked out is kind of fun, and it's kind of scary, and all at the same time, right? And I can think back to different times when the power went out and storms. Something when I was even a young kid, I remember a time, not a whole bunch of details, but a little bit of it. And a few years ago, back in Wisconsin where we lived, we had a big snowstorm come through. And the snowstorms, you know, usually, okay, we're from Wisconsin, okay, so we get snow. You guys get snow here in Pennsylvania,
yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah, all right. It's not like we're down south and we don't even know what snow is. You guys know what snow is. But we had a big snowstorm and the power went out. And I'm saying there were some people that were without power for a couple of days just because it was so much snow came down so fast, weighed down wires and trees and all this stuff and knocked the power out. And I remember when that power went out. And, of course, if it's daytime, it's inconvenient, but it's not that big of a deal. But when it happens at night, okay, or after dark, which in the wintertime when it snows, it gets dark earlier, right? And so we're running around, but, boy, the power just went out. We're trying to find anything that we can to generate some light, right? And, first of all, I'm here. I pull out my phone. And I got this little flashlight on my phone, which, you know, helps us enough to see, okay, boy, yeah, I've got flashlights over here. Why didn't we replace the batteries in those? We got batteries somewhere. Let's find the batteries. Okay, now we got batteries for the plug. Now it works. We find candles, and we're lighting these candles here and these candles here. And you don't realize how dark some parts of your house are until you don't have power, right? We're just so used to it. Go into the bathroom and flip on the light switch. But if there's no power, you've got to carry a light in there. Make sure you have a light. You've got to have light there. There's no windows, nothing. You got to have that, all right? Light in order to be able to see. Even when the power goes out, even just a little light, a little candle with a little flame that goes flicker, 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 even that makes a huge difference, doesn't it? Makes a huge difference in how you feel about the whole situation. If you've got just a little light, if you've got a little flashlight, if you've got a little candle, boy, it just makes, whew, boy, I feel like everything's going to be okay. Should I ask the question?
Yeah.
How many of you are scared of the dark? You don't have to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass the pastor. All right. But just a little light, so I'm not afraid anymore. Right? It means just you can actually keep on doing things. You don't just have to sit there in the darkness. I can't see anything. I don't know what's going on. You got a little light. You can still go about and do things. Maybe it's a little different, but you can see with this, that little light. Boy, a little light makes a big, big difference, doesn't it? Tonight I want to look at a very, very important truth. And I didn't plan for there to be a storm today. Talk about storms and losing power. I was going to talk about that anyway, but it just so happens that we have a storm going on. I hope we don't lose power.
Yeah.
But it could happen. Hopefully we don't lose power. Okay? But I want to talk tonight about the light of the world. The light of the world. And I believe God has an important truth for us to understand here as we think about the light of the world. Look here at John chapter 8 and verse number 12. Now understand, Jesus is in the midst of a bigger conversation, and he's got quite a group of people that have all sorts of different opinions that he's talking to. Jesus says just before he says what he's about to say, he has just shown great mercy to a woman who had sinned very badly. And there was people who were pointing out, saying, she's so wicked. And Jesus is saying, well, listen, you have sins in your heart too. Just like we talked about the other night. Jesus knew it was on the inside, even though other people thought the outside. Ooh, They're all concerned with that. But then Jesus turns and he speaks to this group of people that's around, that has some people that love him, that want to follow him, that are other people who aren't sure, and other people who are against him. And he turns to them all and he says, verse number 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Shall have the light of life. Here we see this truth that Jesus is the light of the world. Let's pray, and then we're going to get into this. Lord, would you help us tonight? And we ask that you just hold the weather at a place where we can manage it and keep going with the things that we have scheduled for tonight. Lord, would you keep the power on for our rally time here tonight? And Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and that even in a storm, you can remind us of important truth. And there's no storm that takes you by surprise. We can have peace in the midst of a storm. And Lord, we can have confidence because you are the light. And so I pray tonight you would take your word and you'd make this truth clear to us. And help us to understand what it means for us tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is the light of the world. That's what he said, I am the light of the world. Okay, that's our first point tonight. Jesus is the light of the world. So if you're taking notes, that's the first point, all right? I want you to see here that Jesus is the light for a world in darkness. There's a big difference between darkness and light, isn't there? A big difference. Certainly in the physical realm, a big difference between darkness and light. We'll talk about that in a minute. But in the spiritual realm as well. But you know what he said? Jesus says, he doesn't just say, I am the light. He says, I am the light of the world. Of a world that's in darkness. And listen, young people, we live in a world where there's a lot of darkness. People who don't know God, people who don't want to know God, people who don't care about what the Word of God says, people who just do their own thing, and they're following the prince of the power of the air, who is all about darkness. And young people, we can look at all sorts of things in our world, and we can see great darkness, a heaviness, a wickedness there. And it's interesting, even it's amazing to me how much in our culture, in our world, there is an infatuation almost with things that are darkness. Okay, with the dark side of things, the powers of darkness. And there's whole movies and cultures and groups of people that are all wrapped up in things that have to do with the dark side. Almost like that's something that we should be entertained by. And listen, it's not. That's darkness. It's the opposite of who God is. Okay? But this is the world, a world trapped in darkness. That's the world that Jesus says, I'm the light for them. Because you know what? People in darkness are the ones who need the light. And so Jesus says, listen, I'm the light of the world. No matter where you go, no matter where a person is from, no matter what they've done or what they haven't done, no matter what they look like, no matter what their background is, listen, young people, Jesus is the light for them. And Jesus is the light for the rich, and Jesus is the light for the poor. Jesus is the light for the young, and Jesus is the light for the old. Jesus is the light for the broken. He's the light for the addicted. Jesus is the light for the strong, and he's the light for the weak. Jesus is the light for the religious people, and Jesus is the light for the atheist who wants nothing to do with God. Jesus is the light for the whole world. And I'm saying that tonight because I want to remind you that Jesus, that means Jesus is the light for you. He's the light that you need, no matter where you're from and what your background is like and what your family is like. Doesn't matter. Jesus is the light for you. And he wants to cast out the darkness in your life. He wants you to be free from the guilt of sin in your life. He wants you to know that he is your light. And that starts, young people, with us making that decision to be saved. To come to him as our Savior and say, Jesus, I'm in darkness. I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. It's been exciting this week to have at least one who's come and who's trusted Jesus. And they went from darkness to light. Boy, that's exciting. That's awesome. I wonder, is there anyone else here still tonight? Here it is, Thursday night. We've talked about this a few times now. Are you here tonight? Maybe you say, you know what? yeah, I'm one of those people that, in darkness. I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. And I need to come to the light, to Jesus. Listen, he's your light. He's the light for the world trapped in darkness. But I think as well, the words that we find in John chapter 1, where it's describing Jesus. And here's what it says. It says, in him, speaking of Jesus, was life. And the light was the light of men. It says, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They couldn't understand it. Listen, people in darkness, the lost people, there was a whole bunch of, they couldn't understand Jesus. Didn't make sense to them. God becoming a man to save them, didn't make sense. And it goes on and says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and yet the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen, young people, people in darkness often don't know what to do with the light. They don't know. How am I supposed to respond to this? What does this mean when they hear the message of Jesus? There's some people trapped in sin that they choose to reject the light. That's what people did to Jesus. There are some who chose to reject him. Okay, there's others that they try and they take and they distort the light. They twist the light to be what they want it to be. And so it's not really the light anymore. Others, they try to add to the light. They try to add to it. Well, yeah, you need Jesus, but you need to do good things too. And you need to be baptized too. And listen, there's all sorts of things people all around the world adding to the light. To try to say, hey, that's how we get to heaven. Some people accuse the light. But listen, he says, listen, there are some who receive the light. Now listen, young people, there may be people you interact with, and you know, they need Jesus. Maybe there's some family members that you have, some extended family members who don't know Jesus, and you're burdened. Maybe some neighbors, maybe some classmates, maybe some other friends that you have, and you know, they don't know Jesus. And they need the light that Jesus is. And maybe you've even tried to talk to them about Jesus, and you say, it didn't go very well. Or they didn't get saved, they didn't receive the truth. Well, listen, sometimes, oftentimes, it's just they don't know what to do with the light. And it takes time as God works in their heart and helps open their eyes that are blind, they can't see, so they can see and understand what it means to receive Jesus. Don't get discouraged by that. See, the question is, what will you do with the light? He's the light for the world in darkness. I wonder tonight, do you need to be saved? Do you need Jesus to be your light? But I see something else here in this verse about Jesus being the light of the world. Not only is he the light for a world in darkness, we see as well here that Jesus is the light for a follower to walk with him. You see what it says here? He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Listen, there's many times when as a follower of Jesus, maybe you say, I know I am saved. But there's a whole lot of times I don't know what to do. I'm in a situation, this thing happens, or maybe I know I'm supposed to be doing devotions, or I'm supposed to be talking to people about Jesus, or I'm supposed to stand for the truth, I'm supposed to do it, but I don't even know how to do that. I don't know what to do. Jesus says, listen, you need his light in your life. He says, I'm the light for you too. He promised, listen, if you'll follow me, you won't walk in darkness. That's what he says. He says, you'll have his light in your life. Sometimes, have you ever thought, man, we talk about all these things. We come to camp and there's all these messages that we hear. And then I'm back home and there's Sunday school I go to, and Sunday morning, Sunday night, there's stuff Wednesday. And there's all this stuff about this, and all these things I'm supposed to be doing as a Christian. I can sometimes think, how am I supposed to actually do all of this? This is so much to keep track of, and it seems kind of hard. How do I actually do it? And I tell you, Jesus said, just follow me, and you won't walk in darkness. You'll walk in the light. Just follow me, he says. Walk with Jesus. Pursue him. Follow him, and you will have his light for the next step. He'll lead you. He'll work in your life. Some of you maybe tonight, you say, well, listen, I don't know what I'm supposed to be when I grow up. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Listen, just walk with Jesus, and he will give you the light that you need when you need it. Okay, he'll use his word as that lamp for your feet, as that light for your path, showing you the steps that you need to take. The question is not, will Jesus lead you? Is he the light for you? The question is, are you surrendered to follow him? Have you said, all right, Jesus, I will follow you as my light. I want to walk with you and let you be the light in my life. That's the question. For Jesus, he is the light for a follower to walk with him. He's the light of the world, and he's your light too. And notice this as well. Not only is he the light for a world lost in sin, not only is he the light for a follower to walk with him, but it says here that Jesus is the light of eternal life. You see that? It says, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I believe it's talking here about eternal life. You know what? There's no real life without Jesus. I don't mean that you're like not alive and breathing, but I mean, you don't really live if you don't walk with Jesus. You know, that's what eternal life is all about. It's about Jesus. It's interesting, the Bible tells us when we get to heaven one day and we're in the eternal state, the new heaven and the new earth, and it's going to be an amazing thing, and it says that there is no sun there because Jesus is the light. He's the one. For all of eternity, he is the light. And listen, in your life right now, he wants to be your light. He says, I want to know what life is really all about. You need Jesus. You want to know what life is all about? You need to walk with Jesus. And when you step into the light of Jesus that he brings to your life, you know what you find out? This is what life's really all about. This is what really makes life exciting. Jesus. There's peace. There's joy. There's purpose that can't be found anywhere else than Jesus himself. He is the light of life. He's what makes everything in life make sense. When there's lots of confusing things that you're going to face in life. Some of you have already faced some pretty confusing things. Why did that happen? Why did God let this happen in my life? Why do I have to face this? And it can be confusing. You know what? Jesus is the only one who can make sense of it. Your counselor can't make sense of everything. Your pastor can't make sense of it. Even mom and dad, maybe they can't even make sense of everything. You know what? Jesus, he's the one who can make sense of everything. And he's the one who can give you peace, even in the midst of things that seem so confused. Because he's the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Isn't that an awesome truth? Jesus is the light of the world. But I want you to see something else now. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Okay, we see it right there. Jesus said it. Right? He said, I am the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. Are you in Matthew 5 now? Here in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is preaching again. He's talking to a group of disciples. And I want you to look down with me at verse number 14. He's talking to this group of people who are his followers. And he says to them, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Wait a minute. Whoa. Stop it. I thought Jesus said that he's the light of the world. Is that what Jesus said? He said, I am the light of the world, right? Yes, that's what Jesus said. But right here, what does he say? He says, you are the light of the world. So which one is it? Which one is it? How is that? Is he saying two different things here? How can both of these be true? Well, they are true, and I'll explain that in a moment. Our first truth was Jesus is the light of the world. But here's our second truth for tonight. Point number two, you are the light of the world. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus did. He said, you are the light of the world. Now, he says some other things here about this matter. Again, we're going to get to how is that even possible for him to be the light of the world and us to be the light of the world. But I want you to see everything that he gives to us here. Look at verse 14 again. He says, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right, the first thing I want you to see here, you're the light of the world. I want you to understand the reality of light. You know what light is supposed to do? Light is supposed to break through darkness. It says here, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. All right, we were down in Arizona last summer, right around this time, actually. And we were down there, and we were ministering at a church there. And the church was right on the edge of an Indian reservation. And so we were there ministering, driving back and forth from the place that we were staying. And one night, we were driving from the church where we were. We were ministering to, back to the house. And it was dark. I mean, it was, we weren't in a big city. So there weren't all these street lights. There was every once in a while at an intersection there would be a street light, but pretty much there was nothing there. And we're driving along this area, and I look up over here, and I see these lights, like, floating up, way above ground. At least that's what it looked like, because it was dark, right? They were floating above ground, and there was a big area of bluffs up there, and there was houses built up on those bluffs. Now listen. I would have had no clue that those houses were there if they didn't have the lights on. But you know what the light did? Up there, in that darkness, it pierced through. That's what he's saying. Listen, when you have a city with the lights are shining up on a hilltop, you can't hide it. You don't even try to. If you build something up there, you're not trying to hide the light. In fact, what do we do sometimes when people want to make sure that a light's seen, they put it up high? For example, right near where I grew up as a boy, there was a small airport. All right, small airport, Cloud International Airport. I don't know why it had the name international in it. All they had were tiny little planes. But maybe they had something come from Canada sometimes or something. I don't know. Okay, but Cloud International Airport. Tiny, tiny little airport. And had these Cessnas and Pipers and whatever. They had parked the planes right up by the road. I thought that was really cool as a kid. But they didn't have one of these big, tall control towers. It wasn't a big airport. All they had was a... was visible from a distance was a blinking light. It spun in a circle like this. On one side, the light was white. On the other side, it was green. And it was on top of an old silo of an old barn. And that's where they had it. And what that light would spin at nighttime. And from a distance, that made it look like the light was blinking, right? It was going white, green, white, green. And that was the marker so that airplanes would know, hey, there's an airport here. And that light would flash right into my bedroom window at night. If I didn't have the curtains closed, I would have white, green flashing in my bedroom window. Now, I had curtains, we closed those because, well, that doesn't help you sleep to have flashing lights, white, green, right? Doesn't help you do that. But you know what? That light was powerful and it was flashing. You know, did they put it up on top of that silo? Why did they do that? Because they wanted it to be seen in the darkness, right? They wanted it to be clear. They wanted everyone to know that it was there because that's what light is supposed to do. Light is supposed to cut through the darkness. That's what light is designed to do. And listen, young people, light is powerful. Okay? God designed light to be powerful. And he designed you to be light, to cut through the darkness, to be seen, to be visible. Okay? We could say this, the light is powerful and darkness is really weak. It doesn't have much power. Or you can't bring something in. I couldn't bring tonight and bring out a special flashlight that actually wasn't a flashlight. It produced a beam of darkness through the room. Could I do that? Let me turn on this flash dark. You that? No, you know what? Darkness can't break through the light. It can't. The only way for darkness to fill this room is to turn out the light. Because light is way more powerful than darkness. And listen, we're in a world of darkness, and God says, I want you to be light. That means he's giving you a power and ability to cut through that darkness so that it can be seen. That's what God intends. Now, that's the reality of light. I want you to think about the choice of light now. Okay? What did Jesus say? Verse 15, he says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Here's what he says. Listen, light's powerful. It's made to break through the darkness. That's what it does. But you have a choice. You can either let your light be seen, or you can hide your light so that it isn't seen. For example, he uses this illustration of a candlestick. I didn't bring a candlestick tonight. And a bushel. What even is a bushel? A bushel's like a bucket, right? All right, it's like a bucket. All right, so let's see. We got something here. Here it is. All right. Actually, you don't need any volunteers for this one. What am I doing? I just take it over. All right. There we go. So, I brought a light. And, hey, Mr. David, you want to turn the lights off for us for just a minute? Don't freak out. I have a light. Oh, look at this. All right. Quiet. I know. This is so exciting. All right, we have a light. All right. Now listen, this light right here, this is actually, it's not as powerful. This light's more powerful. All right. But, too many options. All right. So we got this light. Oh, all right. Gotta use my light so I can see where I'm going. All right, now listen, you don't, when it's dark, you don't take and turn on, get out your flashlight. Oh boy, the power went out. We need light. All right, good. We got this light here. That's good. That's going to help us so we can actually see. We're not so scared. All right, good. We did that. Now we're going to do this. Does that help us much now? Now, we can see a little bit of a glow here with the blue bucket, okay? So does that help us? Does that give us the light that we need?
No.
Who would do that? What a dumb idea, right? To take and put our light underneath the bucket? We need to see. All right, you can turn the lights back on, Mr. David. All right. What a crazy idea, right? Why would we do that? That hides the light when we need the light in the darkness, right? Jesus says, listen, you can either hide your light or let it shine. There's no in between. Which one is it going to be for you? You can either live your life saying, listen, I want everyone to know that I'm a real Christian. I want everyone to know that I'm a follower of Jesus, that I love him with all of my heart. That's what I want people to know. Or you can say, I don't want people to know that. I want to kind of keep that quiet. I don't really want people to see that. No, we do, and we're saying, I don't really want people to know I'm a Christian. I just kind of want to blend in and be normal like everyone else. I don't want to be like, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. You know what we're doing? We're taking, we're putting a bushel right over our light. Listen, we're still the light. That's what it says. You are the light. You still are the light. But listen, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Jesus took and covered up the light that God put here in this world to shine in darkness and to break through so that people could see the reality of what it means to be a real follower of Jesus. But you put the bushel on. You're afraid, maybe, oh, what will people think? How will they respond? My father's family is all, to this day, none of them are saved. My dad is the only one, as far as we know, that is saved in his family, of his brothers and sisters. All of them are Roman Catholic, okay? And I had two great aunts who were nuns in the Catholic Church. One of my uncles was very close to becoming a priest and changed his mind at the last minute. Very strong Roman Catholic family. You know, there's times that we as a family growing up, my dad got saved as a teenager, and then got married to my mom, and they tried to raise us as a Bible-believing family. And we trusted Christ, and we wanted to be followers of Jesus. You know, we'd go sometimes, we'd have family things we'd have to go to. Maybe a family member died, and so we would go to a funeral, and it was at a Catholic church, and there they're doing things like that they do in their mass, and have the communion that they do, and all these things. And everyone else around us is getting up and going to participate in these things that they're doing in the Catholic church. You know what we had to do? We had a choice, right? We could say, hey, let's just blend in and do it. Whatever, not a big deal. Because we don't want to make a big... Or we had to say, no, we're different. We're different. We're followers of Jesus. We don't believe this. We don't believe that's what the Bible says. But we're trusting in Jesus alone. We don't need that. But I tell you, that was a hard decision. It was a little awkward for me, but I tell you, for my dad, it was a really hard decision. But he led our family to say, you know what, we're going to be lights. We're going to be lights among these lost people. Some of you have other situations where, you know what, you have to choose. You have to choose, am I going to take it? Am I going to put a bushel on, just try to blend in, not be different, not stick out, not let people know I love Jesus and I'm following him? Because, man, it just seems a whole lot easier. It's a lot more comfortable to just have a bushel. But listen, that's not what God made you to be. He made you to be the light, to let the light shine. Don't put a bushel on it, young person. Don't put a bushel on it. Let your light shine. And that's what he goes on to say. Listen, you have a choice. You're going to cover it up or you're going to let it be seen. You have a choice. And Jesus brings it right to that choice and says, listen, you're the light of the world. Doesn't make any sense. Light's supposed to be seen. Doesn't make sense to put it to hide it. Or it's designed to give light in darkness. So he says, let your light so shine, therefore, before men. Let your light shine. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I do that? How do I let my light shine? What's the pathway of light? Well, he says here that they may see your good works. Your good works. Now, I know sometimes we kind of get this thing like, oh, good works are bad. Because good works can't get you to heaven. And you're right, good works can't get you to heaven. If you're trusting in your good works to get you to heaven, good things that you do, that's bad. Because those good works can't save you. But you know what? After you're saved, good works, if they're done to show forth the light of Jesus as we trust in him, those aren't bad things. They're good things. They're the fruits that come out of salvation, not a way for us to get saved. And he says, here, listen, I want your light to be different from the darkness. I want your light to show forth good works, for the way that you respond to things to be different from how the lost people respond to things. The way that you treat people is different from the way that the people in darkness treat people. The things that you think are important should be different than the people who don't know Jesus. What's important to them? That should be different. Light's supposed to be different from darkness. Let me give you one very specific application that God himself makes in the Word of God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. You don't have to turn there. But here's what God says. He says, do all things without murmuring and disputings. Okay? You know what murmurings are? Murmur, 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 murmur. That's how it sounds when some of you talk about things. Complaining. Complaining words. Oh, why do we have to do this? Oh, man, this meal is awful. Oh, man, why do they have to say that? Oh, why did they trigger? Murmur, 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 murmur. Complain. He says, don't ever be a complainer. And he says, without disputings. That's fighting, arguing. Just listen, don't ever be an arguer. Don't argue with your siblings. Don't argue with your mom and dad. Don't argue with your friends. Don't be an arguer. Some of you like to argue. You think it's fun. But he says, listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, don't be an arguer. I'm not saying that. God said that. And here's why. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And he goes on and says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. So listen, don't be a complainer. Because if you're a light in this world, and light's not supposed to be complaining. Okay? So listen, don't be someone who's arguing, who's difficult to get along with, who just has this point, you're just in conflict all the time. So listen, no, you're light. You're supposed to be different. That's how lost people live. They don't know any other way to live. He says, but you're a follower of Jesus. You're not supposed to live that way. Don't be a complainer. Don't be someone who's constantly in conflict with other people, because you are light. People should be able to look at your life and say, hey, there's something different there about them. Boy, he's just a kid, but boy, there's something different. The way that he interacts and the way that he responds, that's very unusual. What? Why is that? That's being a light. I wonder, what do people see when they look at your life? What opinion will they get of God by watching the way that you live? Now understand this. It's not just the world. Listen, I need to make sure I'm living a life that is a good testimony. That's the word we use sometimes, right? I want to be a good testimony. You should be a good testimony. But listen, being a good testimony is part of being a light, but it's not the only part of being a light. But it is an important part, because when you live a life of light, it gives you the opportunity to speak words of light. And that's an important part of being a light, to actually open your mouth and talk to people about the light, about Jesus. And so when we live a life as a good testimony, that gives us opportunities oftentimes to talk to people about Jesus. It says that they may see your good works. See your good works. But I want you to notice the last statement here, which brings us back all the way to the question we asked: how can this be that Jesus is the light of the world and we are the light of the world? You see the last statement, he says this: that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want you to see now the purpose of light is to draw men to God, to draw people to Jesus. It says here that when you let your light shine, that people see see your light, maybe that it's different. They see your good works. They see your trust in God in the midst of difficulty. And they see that and they say, wow, God is something amazing. Wait. Let me say that again. Okay? They see your light. They see the way that you live your life, that it's different. But they don't say, wow, they're an amazing person. They say, wow, who is this God? God's amazing. They glorify Him. Now, how can that be? Why is that? You know why? Why does the light draw men to God and not to you? Here's why. Because it's not your light. It's not your light at all. It's the light of Jesus shining through you. All right, let's think about it this way, all right? I have this flashlight. I turned it on a moment ago. Okay? It's pretty powerful. It's a good light. I'm not going to shine in your eyes. Okay? Now this light, okay, where is the light coming from? It's coming from the flashlight, right? This flashlight is the source of the light. Okay? Now, there's another light source in this room. Not right now, but if we were here during the day. Okay, there's these lights, yes, up here. Okay, those lights. And they're a light source as well. But you know what other light source would we have in this room? Oh, what is this? What is this, Malachi? A window, okay? Or these doors back here. Now, are those light sources as well? They sure are. But is that window producing any light? Well, then how can it be a light source? Oh, because all it is something that, yes, again, if we're here during the daytime, that window would be letting light flood into this room. It'd be a source of light. But it's not the window's light at all. It's simply light being seen through the window. And listen, young people, Jesus is the light of the world. But he says, my light is supposed to shine through your life to other people. So that like that window, you are the light of the world. Oh, it's not your light at all. It's Jesus' light, but that light is shining through your light. And that's why when people see you, when you're letting the light of Jesus shine through your light, people say, wow, Jesus is so bright. He's so amazing. He's what I need. He's so good, because they're not actually seeing you in your light. They're seeing Jesus and His light through you. Does that make sense? Do you see how it can be that Jesus is the light of the world and we are the light of the world? Because it's not our light at all. We're just the ones that the light is seen through. And that's what you're supposed to be, young person, a window. A window letting the light of Jesus be seen in the dark world in which you live. And Jesus wants to use your light to show other people who the true God of heaven really is. But listen, that can only happen as you submit yourself to Jesus, as you allow Him to let His light shine through your life. As you say, all right, Jesus, I don't want my light to be seen. It's not about me anymore. It's about you. And Jesus, use me to let your light be seen. There's people, my neighbors, Jesus, boy, you know they need to be saved. And I don't even know how to help you. But Jesus, would you use me and let your light be seen through me to my neighbors, my classmates, to those family members? Are you willing to let God use you to draw others to Him? Are you willing to let your life shine as a light in this world? Young people, as I was thinking about this message today and praying for you all and praying for our time together, I couldn't help but think about how we live in a world in darkness, surrounded by people trapped by sin and we're headed straight for the flames of hell. And listen, young people, Jesus is still not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so He's at work in the lives of people all around you. He's softening their hearts to the truth. He's opening their eyes to their need of salvation. He's preparing the way for someone to bring the light to them. But here's the question. Who will bring them the light? Will you bring them the light? Will you? Jesus said it so clearly. He said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Listen, what about you? Will you be a laborer? Will you bring the light? That's why God has you here, young person. To be a light. Listen, there are hundreds of Bible-believing churches right here in America that don't have a pastor. Who's going to be that person? Who's going to fill that need? There are still thousands of towns, huge sections of large cities, even right here in the USA, that don't have a church that preaches how you can know for sure your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. Who's going to go and start those churches? What about you? What about you? There are still thousands of people groups all around our world with billions of people. Billions, I said. That's a big number I can't wrap my mind around. Billions of people who do not know who Jesus really is and who have no idea how to have their sins forgiven. And who's going to tell them, young people? Who's going to tell them? Who's going to bring the light to them? I'm just trying to tell you tonight, young people, God wants to use you to bring that light to those people. God wants to use every single one of you to be His light in this world. But will you let Him do that? Will you say yes to Him? Now listen, there may be some here. God wants to use every single one of you to bring the light. But perhaps tonight there's some that God is calling to surrender, to make your full-time job, so to speak. Bring the light to those in darkness. Perhaps as a pastor, or as an evangelist, or as a missionary. And God's dealing with your heart, saying, that's what I want you to be. That's what I want you to do. Or perhaps He's saying, at least, that's what I want you to be willing to do. To bring the light, to say, I'm going to give my life to that work. Listen, I was 8 years old when God called me to preach at a missions conference. We had a bunch of 8-year-olds up here earlier. 8 years old. And I didn't know exactly what it would look like. I didn't know that I would one day be doing what I'm doing right now. I didn't know all that. I didn't know if this was even, if being a preacher was something that I could actually do. I was quiet. I was shy. I was a homeschool kid who didn't have a whole lot of friends. I wasn't the son of a preacher. I was just as ordinary as you could get. But God called me to preach, to show forth His light. And I just thought, I just thought as an 8-year-old, well, listen, when God calls you to do something, you're supposed to say yes. And so I did. I said, God, whatever it is you want me to do, you want me a preacher? All right, then that's what I'm going to do. I want to do what you want me to do. God, I'm willing to do anything that you tell me to do, whatever it is. And listen, that's what God wants you to do tonight, young person. He wants to use you as light. And but maybe tonight he's saying, listen, I want you to take that step to surrender your life, to say, God, I will do whatever it is that you want me to do. And if that means being a preacher or a missionary, God, that's what I want to do. God, I just want to do whatever it is that you have for me. And God, I want to go be a light unless you tell me to stay. You know what? That's maybe a little different than we often think of. I saw something recently that got me thinking about that. And I said, you know what? I think that's actually biblical, the way we should think. It's not that we should say, all right, God, if you want me to go, then I'll go. No, God's called all of us to go. He's called all of us to be the light. And so maybe it'd be better for us to say, God, I want to do what you want to do, so I'm ready to go. If you tell me to stay, I'll do that too. But I'm ready to go. But listen, I realize you say, well, I'm only like 11. I can't go and start a church. Yeah, but God maybe we'll call and you say, well, I want you to make a decision about the direction where your life's going. Yeah, listen, I want to help people who are broken and hurting. People who have faced some real difficulties. I want them to see that Jesus is the light for them. And so, Jesus, I want to do whatever you want me to do. Some of you need to make that step of surrender to God tonight. You've never done that. You've never said, listen, God, I will do anything you want me to do. I just want to be your light. And tonight, God's calling you saying, listen, you are the light. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't say, well, I'll have the light the way I want it to be. No, no. Say, God, the light, this light is available. You use me as you want to. I just want your light to be seen through me. Are you willing to come to God in that way? God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, no matter what, to let your light shine. We probably all sung the song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? We've sung that, right? It's a fun song to sing, you know, whatever. Round and round and round. Hide it under a bushel. No. Right? Don't let Satan get out. But we like to sing that song, but listen, do you realize what that song is saying? I'm going to let my light shine, and I'm not going to hide it. I'm here to let people see who Jesus is, to live a life, and to show them by the way I live and the words that I say to them, to show them how amazing God is, so that when they interact with me, they come away saying, wow, Jesus must be real. Jesus must be powerful. Wow, Jesus could save me too. Some of you think, well, maybe someday when I'm an adult, God can use me. No, God could use you right now. That's his light. If you just be willing to say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I just want to be your light. I want Jesus to be seen through me. Listen, you are here to bring the light of Jesus to people in darkness. That's why you're here. Yes, he's the light of the world, but he says, you're the light of the world. You're where the light's seen. I wonder if we've been putting the light under a bushel, hiding it. I wonder what people haven't seen how good Jesus is, haven't seen the fact that Jesus could save them because you've been hiding under the bushel. He says, no longer. Jesus, I'm going to let my light shine. Man, no more bushel. Get rid of that thing. I don't need a bushel anymore. I want people to know I'm a follower of Jesus, and they can be too. Jesus is the light of the world. Listen, even right now, don't just sit around and do nothing. Go and let your light shine. Go find ways to let your light shine to other people, to show them, boy, Jesus is real. Jesus has you here to bring his light to people lost in darkness. The question is, will you let his light shine through you? Let's bow our heads to prayer.